You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
The most wonderful time of the year.
I feel like
with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
You have to dance to this one, I don't know. Or you don't. You know, I'm me and you're not me and you're okay with that. So, the most wonderful time of the year, Christmas. Right? Because it's Christmas time. I'm sure that's all exactly you're thinking of on June 26th. And perhaps not, but actually, look at that. It's almost, if I did my math right, which I probably didn't, it's exactly 6 months away from Christmas. Wow. Except yesterday. So 6 months from yesterday is Christmas. Look at that. I planned that on purpose. So I've got some Christmas gifts here, and you guys have all, you remember Christmas, right? Six months to come, and that excitement, and I've shared some of this before, you know, for me, Christmas Eve is sometimes better than Christmas, and that's probably because I'm selfish, and I forget that Christmas is actually about Jesus and not about me. That's a whole other point, sermon series somewhere, but there's something about the unopened gift, right? Because in that gift, it could be anything. It could be the keys to the new car that you can't afford to pay for. But it could be the keys to that new car, or it could be the thing that you always wanted, and then you open it, and perhaps it's not. And I want to just take a moment here to give some Christmas gifts, some Christmas cheer. And I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but as of yesterday, we have another brand newlywed couple at MC3. Mr. and Mrs. Brock Seiler. So Brock and Jess is Paisley around? All right, but Polly is there. So Polly will probably be able to take care of it if Brock and Jess could come up here. Because I needed some volunteers, and what a better way than to invite the newlyweds up here to get a Christmas gift for me. Yeah. So that's four weddings in 5 weeks at MC3 here. I need a vacation. I'm going to take some here, and then you can come back. So please, come and just, you know, stand here for the audience. You can't sit in these chairs. Sorry, they're not for you. But just stand, yeah, back there. Here, you could kind of lean on the chair. All right, so I have two gifts here, and I want you to know did I just fade out? Okay. I wanted you to know that I took the time, Brock, to pick this one out for you. And it was a special thing, because I thought, what could you use as a young husband, father, you know, and all the different things in life? And so I took some time. I even kind of prayed about this one. Like, it was more than just picking it out. It was a spiritual, well, maybe not that spiritual, but this is for you, Brock. So Merry Christmas and enjoy. And it could be anything at all. But know that I took the time to pick it. And it's exactly what you want. I know it is. And I know it's what you need for life. So please go ahead and open the gift. This would be a great photo op too, as Brock is opening his Christmas present here, because it's the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah, it is a lips straw, because come on, you guys are all out here going, I wish I had that. Because you're like, that's what I wanted. You needed that. And that is so, like, so are you laughing?
That's so mean.
Oh, thank you. See, you actually care. I was worried you'd make fun of me for that.
Why
because I because
crazy.
I poured my heart and soul into getting that gift for you. And now you can, are you laughing at me? Like, I could be hurt. What if I'm offended right now?
I'm not laughing at you.
Okay, you're not laughing at me. Okay, good. Good to know. Okay, all right. Now, that's Brock's gift. So we'll just move that away here. All right, now Jess, this is for you. And this is something I picked out for you as well, so you can open that. It's a $10 gift card to Giant. Now, unlike Brock, you're stuck with what I gave you. But you can choose whatever you want. You can go into the store, and I know it's a grocery store, so it's not like they have, you know, cars. Not that you could afford $10 of a car, but maybe have like Matchbox, or do they still call them Matchbox? Hot Wheels? Anyway, but you can choose whatever you want. And so now there's something unique about these two gifts, because this gift, you kind of are stuck with it. And you might politely give it away at some other point, or it might accidentally go in the trash, or something like that. But obviously that gift there, Jess, the gift card, you can choose whatever you want. And so to you, what you get is probably going to be, now the gift card isn't the value. Like, that's not what matters, right? It's not the card. It's what she gets with it. And so you might go and get $10 worth of diapers. Yay! You know, but it's something you could really use. And so there's actually maybe some more meaningful value in that than perhaps in the lip straw that I chose for Brock, because you get to choose it. So thank you guys. You get to keep your gifts. Give them a hand. And you guys can go back and have a seat. And do you want the box? Okay. All right. But I want to talk today about adoption. And here's the thing. This is going to fit together. When we have kids, and I want to be clear about this from the beginning, I love my children. I love the fact that God provided my children for me. And they are wonderful. They are special. And they're always good all the time. mostly of the time, sometimes. Frankly, they're probably better as kids than I am as a dad, but that's a whole nother. That's last week's point, so you can go back and listen to that at mc3church.org. But the thing that's interesting about adoption is that when you have children that are born to you, they're kind of your children. You're stuck with them, and it is our job to raise them and grow them. But there's something unique about this concept of adoption, because in adoption, there is a parent that is choosing a child. That is saying, I am picking that. And you know how it's been. And of course, this is kind of a joke scenario here with Brock and Jess. But maybe you've had that. And I had an aunt. I don't want to record just in case you happen to listen to this online. But I had an aunt. Okay. And that person that I just mentioned often got presents. She's like, I just picked this out for you. I know it's what you always wanted. And it wasn't. And I know that this is the thought that counts and all that, and we learned all those moral moments afterwards with my parents and stuff. But, like, this particular person just, dude, it was...
She said, I got you a sweatshirt and puffy thing so you can make it just like all of your friends in middle school. If I wore a shirt with puffy things in middle school, I would get beat up more than I already did. Okay.
Anyway, technical problems there. Wink, wink. So, but, you know, the thing about it is it's like, you know, if she had just given me a gift card for even $5, I could have actually gotten something I wanted. I could have used that gift card and chosen something that mattered, chosen something that had a little bit more value to me. And again, this illustration breaks down a little bit, because I don't want you to think that your kids aren't valuable, but there is something powerful about being able to choose, about being able to say, you know what? This child, like we have ours, and we know why that happened. We listened to that. We talked about that a couple weeks ago in the point. But the idea of saying I am choosing to adopt is such a powerful thing. And this is a topic that doesn't get talked about much in church. And so I wanted to bring it up as we finish up. This is the last week of the Family Hack series. But talk about adoption and the idea that choosing a child is a very powerful thing. And we'll see in a moment that we have been chosen as God's children. But before we get to that, I want to bring up Lacey Hostetler. And Lacey and her husband Mike, a month ago at this point? What's that? 2 weeks ago. There we go. It's 2 weeks ago. You can have a seat. 2 weeks ago, just adopted two children, Jesse and Kobe. Did I say it the right way?
Yep.
All right. So Jacoby?
Jacoby,
but you call him Kobe. Yeah, that's good. So I wanted to ask Mike and Lacey. Mike actually has to work this morning, so he's going to listen to this recording hopefully later. But I wanted to talk to Lacey about adoption and about the process that she went through as she's adopted these two kids. So first of all, how long have you guys been at MC3?
Since about December, I believe.
Okay. All right, so about 6 months. Because I did my math.
You did.
Yeah, there you go. So that's cool. What I want to ask, like, what brought you guys to the decision to adopt? Why did you choose to adopt?
Well, we've been married almost 8 years, and he was in pharmacy school when we got married, so we weren't ready for kids, but that was one of the first big talks we had, and we had agreed that we wanted to have two biological children and then adopt. And then we were doing fertility treatments and weren't able to have biological children, so we started the process about a year ago. We okay. started the process to adopt.
Okay. All right. And and this is kind of a weird question, but how and or why did you choose Jesse and Kobe? How did that process work?
Well, it was through foster care, so we got phone calls about children that were available to foster and or adopt, and then we'd say, yes, we're interested, or no, we're not. And we got the call about Jesse and Jacoby on a Friday, and we went to meet them personally on a Saturday. And I always say... I always say that I knew we were going to get them because there were 8 couples interested in them, but on the way home, we bought their bunk beds, so we didn't really
wow.
wait. but, I don't know, we just knew. As soon as we met them, on the way home, we planned on having a big discussion and discuss what we wanted to do, and we didn't discuss anything. We went and bought beds, so
yeah.
So we knew.
Wow. Cool. Well, without going into too much personal info, because I want to be sensitive
okay.
to the boys as well, but what was life like for the boys before you adopted them? Do you know of kind of their... Again, I don't want to get...
No, it's okay. Yeah. They were in foster care since Jesse was 3 and Kobe was 1. So they've been in foster care at that point like 3 years almost. And we were their 4th home in 4 months
wow.
when we took them.
Wow. So it'd be safe to say that it was a kind of a hard
yes, they bounced around a lot.
Yeah, wow. So how do you think, and you can't answer this completely, but how do you think they felt? Or maybe they did tell you. How do they feel about being adopted?
Well, Kobe's my talker. He's 4, but he doesn't stop talking. So he was really excited. He thought it was really cool his name was changing. And even when we first got them, when I would explain to him that like, they would... If we get in the car, they'd say, oh, are we going to a new home? Like, he would ask me that a lot. And so when he finally clicked, like, he wasn't leaving, he got really excited.
Wow.
And he was really happy.
Wow, so he found
I told you I was going to cry.
I do that. He found his permanent home there. So I guess the question for you is, what do you and Mike love about adoption? Like, you made this choice. Would you do it again?
Yeah, hopefully we're going to do it again soon.
All right.
I think we liked how, I don't know, it was just, we were really surprised how quickly they fit in. Like, we thought, I think our whole family was kind of on edge, you know, 3 mm-hmm. and 5, like, they might not fit in, they might not like us. I mean, that was a big fear for me. I'm like, what if they don't like me? Like, they might not like me. But how quickly everything just kind of fit together, and it just seemed like, I don't know, Mike always jokes, it seems like last year we didn't have any kids. But, like, it is. There's no question that everything's so different, but it just seems like it feels right.
Wow. Are you glad you did it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, these are tears of sadness. Yes, I'm very happy that we did it.
And, you know, obviously it's there's challenges, and it's a decision not everybody can make
right.
to adopt. But would you recommend it if people were able to go through that process? Would you recommend
oh,
other
yeah.
people adopt?
Oh, yeah. Like the biggest blessing I've ever had. So.
Awesome. So, well, thank you very much. This is Lacey Hostetler, and her boys are here. And one in the future potentially here,
yes,
child. So, but thank you so much for sharing that, because I want people to understand the power of what you have done, and how what you have done is the same thing that God has done for us. So thank you very much. Why don't we give it up for Lacey? And by the way, I was going to cue you, Lacey. Here's the picture I totally hijacked from your Facebook page of the adoption, which was 2 weeks ago. And so there's Mike and Lacey and Jesse and Kobe. And I'm assuming that's a judge or just some family friend that walks around wearing a black robe. So there's the adoption 2 weeks ago. And so now they are all same last name, Hostetlers. And so that's really cool. And the point that I want us to get today is this, is that as we finish this series, try this spiritual hack. And that is live as children of God. Because, and that was a great point there, Lacey, you know, am I going to go to a new home? No. This is home. This is your home. This is your name. You are now my child. And I think this is something, as we wrap up this series, we tie up all the different things we talked about. And we've been all over the place in this series. But looking at the fact that all of these things come back to, frankly, the first week where Jesus needs to be the keystone, the most important piece, and then kind of tailing on the end here, that we are God's children. We are part of His family. And so, I think we know that on paper, and of course, that's if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not really into the Jesus or God thing and you're just here because you want the great environment of air conditioning. But you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a child of God. And again, I think we know that, but we sometimes don't live that way. We forget that. And so I want to look at this this passage in Galatians chapter 4 and read through it, and then we'll kind of come back and break it down. But Galatians 4 is written by Paul. He planted a church in Galatia. And this was an area in Asia Minor, if you will. And he planted this church and then wrote a letter later to them to talk to them about some of the issues. And that's what the letter here, that's what Galatians is. So the lights are going to come on as well. And we're looking at Galatians 4, and it says this. Paul writes, "Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir." And I want to look at this idea that we have been chosen by God. That there's something powerful that God says, "You know what? I want you. I want you as my child. I choose you as my children." And versus the idea of the gift card, the power of that choice, that freedom to say, "I want this." And God says that to us, that you are my children. And the power of Jesse and Kobe to be saying, for their parents to say, "Look, we have chosen you. We have taken you out of what you were in and have placed you into something that is wonderful, something that is home, something that is family." And that is what God has done for us. And so I want to get this idea. And again, I think as followers of Jesus, unless you're like brand new to the Jesus thing, this is something we know, but yet we lose it. We lose it sometimes. It drifts away from our hearts. And that's what I want us to get. I mean, some of the other weeks, like I said, we've been stepping on toes about some issues and hit some hard things. And this week, I just want you to walk away going, "Wow, I'm God's child. I'm loved by my Father. I am part of His family." And if that's all you walk away with, then great. Because that's such a powerful thing. And so I want to talk about welcome to the family. The first thing we need to understand is that before Jesus, we had nothing. Before Jesus, we had nothing. We had nothing. There was nothing about us. There was nothing that we had. There's nothing about us that was worthy of God. We were just full of sin. We are messed up people. And that's what Paul talks about at the beginning of this passage in Galatians 4. He says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children. Now, just to clarify the situation here, and maybe you're kind of aware of this, but maybe not. I mean, this is a little bit similar. But, you know, if a father dies, especially in this culture, everything gets passed to the oldest child, to the oldest son, generally, is the way it would work in Jesus' time. And so all that the father owned, all of the benefits, all of the blessings, all of the stuff, the property, the house, the car, the chariot, whatever it might be, as the case may be, belong to the father, now will be passed on to the son. And typically, in a standard, you know, this is the way life is, typically that father has passed away when the son is older. The son probably has his own family and things like that, and then would receive that. But if a father would die and there's a young child, and this happens today, there's things called the estate, you know, the estate of that person. But if it is a young child, then things are a little bit different. And that's the situation that Paul is talking about here. He says there's this father that dies and leaves an inheritance. And the word an inheritance means all of that. It means someone that has stuff, someone that has a promise of things. And it says his young child dies. And the Greek word here is, it literally means no words. So this is the word for child, for young child, young children, is a phrase that means this is a child that is unable to make decisions for himself, for herself. This child is that young that someone has to place a guardian over them. And he goes on and says, these children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. So at this young age, this child is given the stuff, but in terms of the way everyday life is, this young child is no different than a slave. And the word for slave, by the way, there's two concepts of slavery in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and what we think of slavery in terms of the African American slave trade in the early parts of our country is not the same concept. At least in terms of Jewish slavery, it was just a servant. And you could sell yourself as a slave if you had a debt and say, okay, I'm going to work it off. And that's, I mean, you know, maybe some of you guys have done that before. That bartering concept is a very similar thing. Hey, you know, I'm a floor cleaner and you're a roof maker and I'll clean your floors if you make my roofs. You know, that's kind of the idea that if you had a debt to someone, you could work it off. And so, but the issue is that slave, that person in that household that was working it off, they're just one of the hired hands. And Paul says, if this father dies and there's a young child, they have this inheritance, but for the time being, they've got nothing. They're no different because they're not old enough to actually take hold of it. And he says, they're not much better than slaves until they grow up. Until they grow up, even though, and this is so powerful, even though they actually own everything their father had. And the fact that, you know, here's this young child and they own it all, but in terms of the practice of everyday life, they're no different. And he says they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And, you know, this makes for great historical drama, great movies and things like that about the young child and the guardian that doesn't want them to have what they have until they grow up. And you know, then somebody gets killed or somebody doesn't get killed or there's a wicked stepmother in there somehow. And then eventually Disney makes a movie out of it, I guess, is the way it works. You notice how, like, almost every one of the early Disney movies, there was no mother. There's just dads. Like, it's just interesting. It's a fairy tale kind of thing, I guess, but or maybe not. Anyway, so he says they actually own everything, but because they're so young, they can't take hold of it. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. So the father says, okay, at this point, you will receive all the things that you have been promised. But until that point, you're no greater than one of the slaves, than one of the hired hands, and you even have someone telling you what to do. And then he goes on and says, and that's the way it was with us before Christ came. See, we are that same. We were that child that has received an inheritance. But he says, we were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. See, we were stuck. We had nothing. We had nothing before Jesus. We were stuck in our sin. We were messed up. You know, we had no hope. We had nothing. And we'll talk about the things we do have in a little bit. But understand that without Jesus, we've got nothing. And we were talking about this at the wedding, you know, that a foundation for a marriage isn't nice people. It's not 50-50 or even 100-100. It's not about the people and what they have to offer. It's not, oh, you know, we financially we're well off. It's not because we are really in love. The foundation is Jesus.
And that's what makes a difference. And that's the same thing for us, is that without, like, it doesn't matter how nice we were or how good of a person someone is, or how many times they helped serve somebody else, or they gave money away, or, you know, at Christmas time they always show up dressed as Santa and give out gifts to the needy children. Like, all of that is neat and nice and swell and nifty. But without Jesus, it's meaningless. It's nothing. And that's where we all are. That's where we all were before Jesus. There was this inheritance waiting for us. There was something out there that was wonderful, that was powerful, that was rich, that was amazing. But before Jesus, we had nothing. We were just sitting around. Couldn't claim it. Couldn't do anything with it. And so that is who we were. We had nothing. And it's so important to understand what we had to appreciate it. And this is the, I'll just be straight out. I know this is being recorded, but sometimes kids at MC3, sometimes even my kids are like, I don't know. Ignition wasn't as fun today. I've heard other kids like, I don't know. And kids that kind of grew up in MC3, I feel like we need to have like a church Sunday school exchange program. And I don't mean for this to sound the way it's going to sound, but if you knew what it was like out there on other Sunday morning at church, you might be like, this is the best thing ever. Because when you understand what it could have been, what it was, sometimes it is powerful. And I say that because I love what's going on here. And not to demean other churches, but we are intentional about giving the kids a fun time and learning at the same time. And that's a tension that we balance. Because we want our kids not to say, wow, I learned a whole lot, but I'm not coming back next week because I hate it. We want them to say, wow, I love this and I want to come back. And in that process, they're learning things. And so it's the same kind of thing. Like, if you understood what it was before, and for us as biological children, we don't know any experience pre our parents. But those boys do. And the difference to be able to say, wow, look, mom and dad, this is what I was. And you know, and maybe in 10 years we'll interview them, you know, and talk about what's it like being adopted and how your past was and what it is now. And it's so important for us to remember that before Jesus, we had nothing. Before Jesus, we were stuck. Before Jesus, we were being passed around from home to home, as it were. Before Jesus, we didn't have hope. And that's the way it was for us. But, and this is the beauty, we've been adopted. You and I have been chosen by God. He chose us. He adopted us through Jesus, and we are His children. We are His children. We're not just like, oh yeah, they're nice people over there, or they're swell, or, you know, we're not good buddies, and, you know, he might call us if he needs a favor, and we can help him. Like, no, we are God's children. And that's what Paul goes on to say in verses 4-5. He says, but when the right time came, we were stuck in our slavery, but God said, now is the time. And I actually talked about this during one of the Christmas series, I think it was a couple years ago, about this very Christmassy kind of passage. When the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. So He's saying there's this legal process here where before, you know, if a father has a child, or the father dies and the child is not old enough to receive the inheritance, they have to wait till the right time. Well, God, we were stuck in that same pattern, and God said the right time had come. The time has been chosen. It is time. And God sent Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, basically to say, you know what, all those legal things are being resolved through this Jesus. And God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. So when the right time came, and your translation might say at the fullness of time, and the word means to be complete, when things are ready, it's kind of, you know, waiting for dinner and like, is it ready? No, not yet. And I mean, we have pizza on Sunday nights generally. That's a family tradition kind of thing. And I always screw up. Kendra makes it. The kids make it, frankly. The girls help too. My only job, you had one job, is to like open the oven and say, is it done? And I always mess it up because I never get it at the right time. When it's complete, I'm like, oh, it's definitely not done yet, because I kind of like it done. And usually not time yet is too late. I open the oven, look in, close it, and then it's burnt. And so this is not burnt pizza. this is at just the right moment, at the perfect spot where the cheese is melted and the pepperoni is crispy and the crust is crusty in a good way. That is just the right time. At the time of completion, when the fullness of time came, God sent Jesus to buy freedom for us. And we talked about this in the end of the breadcrumbs series. We talked about being redeemed, being bought out, how Jesus bought us out of slavery. And that's where this idea of slavery, when we talk about, you know, the Jewish concept, is that if you had sold yourself into slavery, if you had to pay off a debt and you sold yourself to that person, which, by the way, the rules in the Old Testament also were very different from what the slave trade was here in America. The rules required them to be, you know, they were part of the family, got all the same rights and responsibilities in terms of being cared for and all that. It wasn't like, you know, here, go live in a hole in the ground. But the thing is that if you sold yourself as a slave, someone else could come and buy you out and say, you know what, I want to get you out of that. Here, I'm going to pay for that. I'm going to redeem you. And that's what Jesus did. We were kind of trapped in this situation. We had nothing. We were waiting for this wonderful inheritance to come. And God said, okay, I'm sending my son because now is the time. So he bought freedom for us. He redeemed us because we were slaves so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Like, it wasn't just enough to say, I'm going to pay this debt. I'm going to get them out. I'm going to set you free. He set us free so that he could adopt us as his children, to choose us as his own, to be in his family. Because before, it wasn't worth it. And I'm sure I could have asked plenty more questions, Mike, of Lacey and Mike, about this whole process. But I'm sure there was some work involved on your part. Yeah. It's work. It's a commitment. There's a lot of things that are involved in that. And that's why it's not for everyone. It's a beautiful decision. And some of you know that Kendra and I were actually looking. We had plans from our early days to adopt a child, kind of do the biological and the adopted ones. And we had three kids. And in terms of our income, because we're rolling in the dough, we were within that kind of framework for adopting. And then just to cement the deal, I had surgery, you know, a surgical procedure done. And so, okay, good, no more kids, three, we'll adopt another one. And we even had some money set aside. We were kind of planning for that. And lo and behold, I went for my, this is totally personal stuff, I'm just being real, guys. I went for my follow-up appointment with my surgeon and to find out, you know, did everything work and it was all good. And that same day we found out we were pregnant with Tommy. As Kirk actually said, I remember, he's like, way to get one in before the buzzer, you know, gave me the high five. And then at that point, four was actually kind of pushed us outside of that range, and that was God's plan, so we're not going to change it. But anyway, that was part of our process. But we knew that there was work involved. We knew there was money involved. But we knew that it was worth it because of what we were able to, at least hopefully able to do for at least one child, not maybe two or even three. And there's plenty of, and we know lots of people that have adopted kids. But there's work involved, but it's worth the work when we can, to pull someone out of what life was like before. And for God, the work involved was sacrificing his son. Jesus died for us because he said, I'm not content with you there. I want you to be part of my family. And so God sent his son to die for us. I don't think any of you, you're both alive, right? Okay, so neither Mike nor Lacey have died in this process. Although he's not here. but you know, that's the extent that Jesus went to, because he wasn't content with us to be stuck in our slavery, to be stuck in that spot with no inheritance, with nothing of value, to pull us out of that and adopt us as his children. So we had nothing, and then we've been adopted, and finally, we are now heirs. Because we've been adopted, because we're part of his family, we are now heirs. We are receiving an inheritance. And if you don't know, those two words are the same, inheritance and heir, are in the same word, just to clarify, because we're going to look at some passages later where we'll be bouncing back and forth between those terms. but we are now heirs. We're not just some outsiders. We're not just some like, hey, buddy, here's some money. I'll buy you out of your thing. Good luck with life. No, this is, I'm redeeming you. I'm sacrificing my son to pull you out of that so that you can be my child. And not just my child, not just a child, but you, we are children that are receiving the inheritance. And this is a big deal. We're the ones that get it all. We get all the great things, the wonderful things, because we have been adopted as God's children. And we're the outsiders coming in and receiving the inheritance. So he goes on and says here in verses 6 to 7, and because we are his children, because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when we trust Jesus, when we follow him. Accepting Jesus into your heart, that's the Holy Spirit, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, if you grew up in church, you probably heard this phrase before. If you grew up in the 70s, you probably heard Abba before. Very different. Abba, Swedish singing female group, not the same as the Abba word here. I don't think. Maybe they, I don't know. I don't know what Abba means in Swedish. But in Aramaic, Abba is a term that means daddy. It means, it's one that you would never call even your grandfather in this context, in the Jewish culture. You would never call your grandfather Abba. That is way too disrespectful. But at home, and not in public, but at home, you would be able to call your dad, your father, Abba, which means daddy. It's a very personal, personal term that is only shared with your father. And again, as a child, you would not dare call anyone else Abba, and you wouldn't dare even call your dad Abba in public, because that would be disrespectful, because it's such a personal, intimate term. And God says, look, I sent Jesus because you're my children so that you can call me your Abba. I'm your dad. I'm your daddy. We're not disconnected. I have chosen you and pulled you out of that because I love you and I want you to call me daddy. And he goes on and says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are a child, God has made you his heir. Since you were a child, God has made you his heir. And here's something that's really powerful about this that we probably kind of miss and don't quite understand. But and I guess if you study like the kings and queens of England and stuff like that, but in a culture like this, there you'd have all these other children that would receive the rights first. In a culture of the Bible times, of the Old Testament, New Testament time, you know, you might be the 15th child, but you better believe that the blood child is going to get the inheritance before any adopted kids. The adopted kids don't deserve that. And you know, there was probably some, that was kind of the understanding, that they were outside of the family. And so that's kind of the way it works. I would be the oldest, and then kind of down till whoever's left would get the inheritance. And God is making a powerful statement here through Paul to the church in Galatia by saying that as adopted kids, we are heirs. He's saying that that is how personal this is. That is how amazing this is, that he is giving us an inheritance that frankly should only belong to his son. Because of all the things that we get to receive as God's children should only belong to his son. And you've got Jesus in the garden praying, Father, if there's any other way. And there's this intimate moment between the father and the son in the Garden of Gethsemane before Jesus dies on the cross. And that intimate moment should frankly only belong to Jesus. But the whole plan of God was to say, I'm giving that to all of my followers, all of my children. I am adopting you into the family to be an heir, to receive an inheritance. And that is, that's just powerful, powerful stuff. And it's something that I just, we have to grasp that this was a big deal for God to say that we are receiving heirs, receiving an inheritance as God's children. So we are part of his family. You are part of God's family. You are God's child. You had nothing before. You had nothing to call on your own. And this is like, I'm sure there's plenty of like old, Jane Austen type books that have these kind of stories. And this person was nobody and they married into this family and received this amazing inheritance. Or of like the, you know, the person that lived on the street and was you know, a riffraff in the gutter and found out that all along their great-grandfather was King Reginald I. And suddenly they had this brilliant inheritance. And if that's not a story, you should make it right now. Write it down. King Reginald I, great-grandfather, gave the... Okay. But that whole storyline is something. We love the power of that. We love knowing they had nothing, and look what happened. We call them Cinderella stories based on, Cinderella. This idea of someone that had nothing finding out that they had something incredible. And that is what you have. You, as a follower of Jesus, are the child of God. And you are God's son, God's daughter, to the point where you can call him daddy, to the point where he says, I'm giving you my inheritance. I'm giving you all the things that belong to my son, but because of my great love for you, I am sacrificing him for you. So we had nothing, we've been adopted, and we are now heirs. Welcome to the family. And there's something so powerful about this. Understanding that that's who you are, that's who I am, that we've been adopted as God's children, and that you know, God chose us. It's the perfect Christmas gift because you can get whatever you want, and that's who we are. And so what is it, the point that I want you to get, again, as we said, is try this spiritual hack. Live as children of God. Live differently. If we know that we're God's child, we don't need to be going around moping. We don't need to be worrying about things. We don't need to be depressed. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be any of this because we have a Father who loves us so much. He says, call me Abba. Call me Daddy. And Jesus even talks about this, you know, a good parent is going to give, if their kid asks for something, they're not going to give them a snake. They're going to give them what they need. And our Father is so much greater. He's going to give us what we need and what we want. And so let's live differently because we are God's children. Let's walk out of here celebrating that we are God's child, that we don't have to live in those things. So if we're receiving an inheritance, if God has made us heirs, what is it that we're receiving? What are we getting? And so I want to just share a couple of things. And this week in Prime Groups, the discussion guide is a little bit more consolidated. So you guys can celebrate the things that God has provided for us. God has provided for you as his child. So the first thing that we inherit is our sin is erased. Our sin is erased. We're sinners. We're messed up people. We constantly, maybe you don't care about the things you do, right or wrong, but I'm at this point like, why did I just say that? Why did I just do that? Why am I even worthy of this? And I like to keep track of my sin because it's not fun. I'm like, hey, this is cool. But I just in my sinful nature, I keep track of all the things and go, man, look how I failed again. Look how I messed up again. Look how I did this again. And as a child of God, my sin has been erased. As a child of God, your sin has been erased. And I don't care what it was that you've done. It has been erased. I don't care when you did it, where you did it, how big of a sin it was. It has been erased because Jesus died for you. This is what Titus says in Titus chapter 2. Chapter 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. They're not very positive words. We were stuck in our sin. That's what we said earlier. We had nothing. By all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That's what we were. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, because you haven't done, I haven't done anything good enough to earn it. but because of his mercy. And I'm sorry, I'm constantly picking on you, Lacey, but I'm pretty sure you didn't have like an evaluation like process where you're like, okay, boys, show us what you can do. You know, had like a little tryout. Oh, sorry, that wasn't good enough. Sorry, we're going to have to go on to somebody else. Can you do a handstand? No. All right. You know, like there was no evaluation process. You chose them. They were chosen. We have been chosen, not because of anything that we could do, because God has chosen us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Washed, clean, renew, rebirth, all new phrases. The old is gone. The new has come. Sin has been erased. He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of Jesus' death, we have been set free. We have been cleansed, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. As an heir of God, as a child of God, our sin has been erased. And so you and I need to live that way. We can't let the past drag us down. We can't let can't hold on to the past. And even if the past was 5 minutes ago, maybe you need to make some apologies. Maybe 5 minutes ago you said something, did something you needed to address. But don't let the past weigh you down, because it has been forgiven. We talked about this a couple years ago in the Mark series, about how we carry weights around that we don't need to carry around, because they have been forgiven. They have been erased. They have been removed. And so as a child of God, your sin, God isn't going, oh yeah, I got this list, you suck. No. As a child of God, God is saying, my son has washed away whatever you had. My son died for you, and you are inheriting a sinless life, a sinlessness of my son, the sinlessness of my son. So we inherit sin erased. The second thing we inherit is hurt removed. Life is hard. I mean, I know this room is full of people in the last year have gone through and are going through big issues, big problems, sickness, pain, job issues, marriage issues, family issues. And I know with some of you, there's a point where you're like, what's the point? I can't go on. I don't want to do this anymore. And you feel alone. But as a child of God, you don't have to feel that way, because the hurt has been. And if it hasn't been completely removed now, it will be removed. And this is what John, the Apostle John, writes in Revelation chapter 21. He's talking about this vision he sees of Jesus at the end. And he says, I heard a loud shout from among the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. This is something we have to look forward to. He will wipe away some of the tears if they weren't a big deal. No, every tear. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, and there will be no more sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. No matter what it is, no matter where it is, no matter how it feels and how painful it will be, it is that you're going through, it will be removed. He goes on and says, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. He also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. The hurt has been removed, and it will be removed, and we can look forward to that. Even if what we're enduring right now is hard, and we'll get to that in just a moment, we can look forward to a moment where, as a child of God, as a child who is receiving the inheritance, one of the inheritances, that's the right term, that we will receive is a world, a time, a place where there will be no more pain, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more death, no more suffering, because we will be with God and He will be with us. The very fancy church word, theological word for that is heaven. But that's the idea of looking forward to a time when hurt will be removed. And we have that hope as a child of God. People that are not children of God, if you are not a follower of Jesus, that's the hard part about funerals. For people that don't know Jesus, because it's like, I wish I could say something good. But it's about Jesus as a child, as an inheritance we receive and we can look forward to as a child of God. And that's, there will be no more hurt. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. And that is something we can look forward to because we will inherit these blessings as a child of God. So we inherit sin erased. The sin is gone. It is no more. He even just said there, we will make all things new. The hurt has been removed. But here's the thing. We can also look forward and say, yeah, that's great. The hurt will be removed someday. Not Sunday, but someday. And, you know, someday seems like a long time away for me. I wish someday would come, and I've been waiting for someday to come for some time now. Well, here's the cool part. Another thing we receive as a child of God, another inheritance we receive, is help provided. Until someday comes, until that time comes, we are not alone. We are not alone in this. Romans 8, Paul writes this to the church in Rome. He says, and we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit within us. And we said that earlier, that we receive God's Spirit by which we can say, Abba, Father. As a foretaste of the future glory. So the Holy Spirit is in us to show us what things are going to be like. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We're waiting for that moment. Right now, we're still stuck in that, right? You still sin. I still sin. We still hurt. We still have pain. We're looking forward to that. And we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children. We're looking forward to that moment when we will receive that inheritance, including the new bodies He has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. So He's saying, hey, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We haven't received this perfect, this hurt-removed kind of world. Things are hard. Life is hard. We sweat. We get sunburned. We get sore, we die, we get sick, we get hurt inside, emotional pain. We're looking forward to that day, and this is the cool part, the help that's been provided for us is that, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So you're not alone in this. Even though we can't, we are eagerly awaiting that day. We want it to be better. We want it to be perfect. As a child of God, God says, here, have my Spirit. He will help you. I will guide you through the Spirit of God to help you in your weaknesses. For example, when we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us in groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit, there's those moments, and maybe you've had those moments where you're like, I don't know what to pray for. Do I want to get better? Do I want to get sick? Do I want to take this job? Do I want to give up this job? We have all these different challenges in life and hard decisions. And, you know, we've talked about this many times, that the idea that God wants us to be happy isn't biblical. Sometimes we suffer and grow closer, to God than we're doing well. And so there's these moments, and maybe you've had them in your life, where you're like, I don't even know what to pray for. Which is the right thing here, God? What do I do? This is hard. This hurts. And God says, you've got my Spirit in you. And even in those moments, He will help you. He will pray. He will help you with those thoughts, those things that can't even be expressed in words. Because you're, as a child of God, you've received Him. You have the Holy Spirit. You have help provided. You're not alone in this. And so no matter what happens, what you feel like you're going through, you're not alone. I mean, obviously, the body of Christ, that's what the church is. But, man, we're nothing in comparison to the fact that God lives in you. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. He is there to give you the comfort in your weakness, to give you the perseverance in the hard times. And that's something we get as a child of God. That's something we receive as His child. So, Our sin has been erased. The hurt will one day be removed. And until we get to that point where the hurt is removed, God says, I'm giving you my spirit in your weakness to help you through those moments. And then finally, the last thing that we receive, we inherit as a child of God, is hope promised. Hope promised. We receive this as an inheritance. In Hebrews chapter 6, the writer says this. People swear by someone greater than themselves. And the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. I swear to God. That's, I don't know, middle school lunchroom table? Oh, I swear to God, my mom totally had knives stuck in her eyes when she was young, and she pulled them out of her ears, and she's cool now. Oh, that's not true. I swear to God. Why do we do that? Because it has this idea. You go to a, I don't know if they do it anymore, I don't know, once upon a time, there was this thing called the Bible, and you would place your hand on the Bible, raise your right hand, you would swear on an oath, because it was something bigger than yourselves, because that's what we do. That's the idea that hey, I'm not just making this, isn't just Sean making this promise. This is something bigger. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying that's what people do. And that ends the argument. The argument is over. Well, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. That's us, the heirs of what was promised. God has made a promise, wanted to make sure that everybody's aware that he is not going to change. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. So here's the deal. An oath. God says, I want to take an oath. I'm going to swear by myself. Because God cannot lie. God cannot change. God will not change his mind. God will not change his promises. If he says that it is true, it will happen. That is his nature. That is who he is. That's not a choice he makes. That is who he is, ontologically. It's part of who he is. He will not change. And so he did this so that we, who are his inheritance, the heirs to this promise, can know and be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. God says, look, I promise you, you will receive these things. I promise you by my own name. And why is my own name good enough? Because I cannot lie. I cannot change who I am. This isn't God saying, I will not. This is, I cannot change. And so when God makes a promise, when God says, as my heir, you will get what was promised, we have it as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. An anchor is something that holds, you know how an anchor works, it holds to the ground. And even though above things might be going crazy and wild and the waves might be tossing and turning and the ship might be bouncing, the anchor isn't going to move. And that is the hope that we have as children of God, that God's going to do this. And we might feel like he doesn't. We might feel like he's not coming through. We might feel like he's not there. But understand that everything that he has promised us as his children, it's firm and secure. It's a hope that is promised. It is a hope that is guaranteed. I just had a conversation about there's a certain brand of sunglasses that has a lifetime guarantee. That's a pretty good guarantee. Anything happens, they will replace your sunglasses, including putting it in a wood chipper, is what I've been told. That's a pretty good guarantee. It's got me thinking, maybe I want to get those sunglasses because that's a guarantee that it's promised. No matter what happens, it's going to happen. They will fix it no matter what. And it's the same kind of thing. We like those guarantees. We don't like warranties that say limited, 12-year warranty. 12 years, that's a long time. You read the fine print, except in cases where anything breaks. That's what the limits are? No, this is God's promise, God's warranty. It is certain, it is secure, it is an anchor for our souls because you are his child. And he says, as your father, as your daddy, I'm going to give you everything that I promised. I'm gonna deal with the hurt. Don't worry, I'm going to. I'm gonna give you my spirit to make it through the hard times. I'm gonna give you this wonderful inheritance, and I'm erasing your sin. We are God's children. We have been chosen. We have been adopted as God's children. So let's live like it. As you go, as we finish this Family Hack series, as you think about all the family things we've talked about and all the problems and the ways, and maybe you've walked away going, wow, I'm not doing that one right. I know I've walked away pretty much every week going that way. I need to fix that as a father, as a husband. But God is the perfect Father, and we are part of His family. We are His children. So try this spiritual hack. Live as children of God, because you are. If you have trusted Him, if you have followed Him as your Savior, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, and again, let me clarify, if you've been to MC3 for any length of time or not, we use the term Christ follower on purpose because Christian means so many things. Oh, I live in America, so I'm a Christian. I'm not Muslim, I'm not Hindu, therefore I must be Christian. That's just a generic word that doesn't mean much anymore. But a Christ follower, you have chosen to follow Jesus. And if you have chosen to follow Jesus and believe that His death on the cross took away your sins, then you are God's child. And you receive all of these blessings as His child, all of these things as an inheritance. And you can call Him Daddy. And whatever today looks like, whatever tomorrow looks like, you can go to Him. Daddy, today's hard. Maybe you go on the other side and say, Daddy, thank you so much for this blessing. Thanks for giving this to me. And I recognize, too, that, we have earthly fathers that are far from perfect. I'm one of them. And some of you have earthly fathers that you never even knew just because of sin. So don't let that affect your understanding of your true Abba Father that loves you completely as His child. So live differently because of Him. Let's pray. Abba, Daddy, we are here coming to You. And yes, You are a great and mighty and awesome God. And yes, You are holy and powerful and so much greater than us. And You are perfect and we are not perfect. And there's so much about You that is just amazing. And yet at the same time, great holy God, You have allowed us and told us that we can call You Daddy. And Daddy, I thank You for all the things that You have given me as Your son. I thank You for loving me the way that You did, the way that You do through Jesus. I thank You for choosing me and adopting me into Your family. And we together collectively thank You, Father. Thank You, Daddy, for adopting us as Your children, for rescuing us from what was to make us something now that is beautiful. And that we're not just stepchildren. We're not just these extras. We are Your children receiving everything as an inheritance. And so, God, I thank You that You have erased our sin and removed those things from us, and we don't have to wallow. And if there's someone here stuck and wallowing in their past, help them through Your Spirit to forget it. And God, I thank You that we don't have to worry about hurt. Even though life hurts right now, we can look forward to the day when it will be removed. And I pray that You would give us the strength and endurance to do that. And even now, thank You for giving us Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, You living inside of us to get us through those moments of our weaknesses while we look forward to that hurt being removed. Give us the words to pray. Give us the things to say. Give us the direction, the help that we need. And thank You, God, that You are true and that all of this is certain because of who You are, and that we can rest in that. And God, I just pray for each of us here, for anyone listening online to this, that You would help us to not just walk away going, huh, that's good, and maybe even being reminded of this, but live as Your children differently, because there's something that we have to hope for. There's something we have to look forward to as children of God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.